Okay, everybody, we are getting rolling for today's session for mentorship experience, and I'm really excited about today's topic. It's one of my absolute favorites, and it's one that I developed an entire online workshop from. And in fact, this is where a lot of the material for today is going to come from. So know that this is very much inspired and very much related and very much sometimes directly drawn right from the workshop, Money, Wealth, and Valuing Yourself. So if you want more on that, you can let me know because I've got tons of material. Before we dive right in though, just going to check and see if we have anything to share from our last couple weeks together or from any of your experiences really throughout these past couple months.
Yeah, so this is Sylvie on France, and there is one thing I'd like to share. I don't know how that deeply works, but I can tell this is so deep work. And so many things have shifted. It has been, for myself, this is my experience, very uncomfortable at times, but there are very deep shifts and changes. So I wanted to thank the whole group and, of course, Addison to have that energy so and that space to be able to expand myself and my heart and shift in that way. So thank you.
Oh, you're welcome, love. Yeah, there's something about these types of containers that just seem to add rocket fuel to our explorations. Yeah? Mm. Yeah.
I cannot see you well.
Oh, Addison? There we go. Is that better?
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Okay, yeah, my angle got lost in my screen. There we go. All right, my loves. We're going to dive right in. So let's just take a minute to ground ourselves and breathe. So just giving yourself some slow, deep inhales and exhales. Every breath an opportunity to release and let go. And begin to feel yourself sink even deeper into that cushion below you. Okay, my loves. So if you haven't already, now is also a great time to slip into Mindscape. I'll give you another few breaths to do that. And feel free, if you're listening to the recording, just to press pause if you'd like more time to do it the long version way of getting into Mindscape. Okay. And when you're ready, no, as always, it's nice to have either a piece of paper or a computer or just something to write on that's nearby. And although today's topic is about money, it really, as always, has nothing to do with just money. It never, ever does. Money is very deeply a reflection of our inner abundance, our valuing of ourselves. We think of all those common expressions of money and wealth, well, we hear things like, well, that's dirty, filthy, rich, like there's something dirty about having money, or it doesn't grow on trees, like, well, abundance can't be abundant. So the paradox within even these statements is fascinating to me and has been ever since I was little. I never understood these statements. It just never made sense to me. So for today, know that we're exploring, even though it's through the lens of money, all those correlations of self-esteem, self-value, your inner worth, your inner abundance, your inner, well, pregnancy is another word that one could associate with wealth, being abundant with pregnancy or being pregnant with an idea. So money can also relate to creativity. You've heard me likely at this point talk about sexuality and all the things that can fall underneath that umbrella. Money is but one of them. So know that money also relates to all the other things underneath sexuality, from vitality to healing to producing your results and making things happen. So how we do one thing, how we do everything. So here's the thing, money's got so much richness, pun intended, to explore that it can't help but spill over into one, if not a whole lot of everythings that it's related to. Okay, so give yourself a slow deep breath again. Okay, and we're going to start with part one here. So part one is called the seed. So let's explore that dirt that's been covering. Imagine yourself as a seed here with darkness. So you can even get right into that if you're a mindscape. Imagine yourself as a seed, breathe into it, feel it, see it, smell it, hear it, taste it. And imagine that just like all seeds, we're covered in dirt, covered in darkness. And the experience of the seed is not a gentle one. There's struggle in rooting without any perceived light to even guide the way. It's like it's feeling around in darkness just to find its roots. So now imagine rooting struggle in your experiences throughout your life. And from here, write down on a piece of paper, or pardon me, it's my husband's alarm going off. Turn that, close that door. I'll stop it in a minute. He's actually out walking the dogs already, so that's going to keep beeping. But I'll get us started on our first part here. Write down on a piece of paper everything that you've ever been told and everything that you tell yourself about money, wealth, valuing yourself, or any of the other correlations that I mentioned that may have resonated for you earlier. So for example, you might be writing down things like, I'm not good with money, I spend instead of save, I should never place my own needs before other people. So this can be about anything. It doesn't have to be directly about money. Anything about money, self-value. Write down all the voices in your head that speak or whisper or shout to you. I'm going to give you a couple minutes. So leave no stone unturned. Get right into this. Even when you think that you're done writing, just keep writing. I'll be right back. Okay, you're halfway through. Give it one more minute. Let anything that needs to pour out of you.
Ah, this is so fascinating.
Seconds left. Be gentle with yourselves. Breathing here. Stay with it all. Go for gold. Get it all out. Okay, give that all a slow deep breath. You're doing great, so stay with this. We're gonna dig even deeper now here, and we're gonna keep going for gold in these next couple parts. So part two, I call this part the indebted identity, or the identity of being in debt, or feeling in debt in some way. So writing down now, how would you finish off these two sentences? Sentence one, I am blank in debt. So if you're not financially in debt, answer how you are indebted to your self-value. Even if you are financially in debt, feel free to also write down how you're indebted to your self-value. So sentence one, I am blank in debt. That could be a dollar value. That could be a word or a phrase of how you're indebted to your self-value. It could be how you're in debt to your sense of productivity, achieving results. It could be how is it your health is in debt? Your vitality, how we explore any one of these is how we explore everything. So see again which one of those concepts that I mentioned earlier resonates the most for you. Okay, sentence two is, this means I am. So based on your answer from part one, sentence two is, this means I am blank. This means I am blank. Try to keep that short, whether it's one word or a phrase. If you have multiple answers coming up, that's fine, but try to keep each answer really short. So this means I am blank. And I'll give you 1 minute. So I'm going to put 60 seconds on the clock for you to brainstorm, because you may have multiple answers coming here. So give yourself a slow, deep breath. Breathe into all of this here.
I'm sorry, my husband just came in to thank me.
All good.
For the dishes. No.
Oh, so, all good, all good. We are all done that minute, love, so give yourself a slow, deep breath here. Feel free to take more time if you would like. If you're listening to the recording, of course, you can always just press pause and take even more time. Okay, we're going back in for some more big stuff here. So again, breathing here, part three, heart and soul. So all that you've been uncovering here has added up to really one understanding that's been hardwired into you, heart and soul. What you've really said and all that you've written down is some variation of, quote unquote, I deserve this. Often those roots of deserving are intertwined with the family, inheriting, passing down the beloved legacy of guilt, shame, the need to punish yourself by continuing to carry these messages of, I deserve this. Okay, so let's bring some solid observation and attention to this for once and for all. So first things first, let's bring into awareness all that you've been carrying with you from your family's belief systems regarding money, wealth, and valuing yourself. Okay. Write down now on your paper, your computer screen, wherever you're at, all that you've learned down from your family about money, wealth, valuing yourself, along with any really strong memories. So I remember being told if I was really good, I'd get a quarter. Here's a stronger one. I remember Dad threatening to beat Mom for buying pop that wasn't on sale. Okay. So all that you've learned from your family about money and any strong memories. And as always, I'm going to feel like a broken record here. Money or any of its correlations, health, vitality, self-value, productivity, throw a dart into any of these arenas.
Okay, money, self-value, productivity, two more.
Oh, there's so many. I'll give you a brief rundown. Okay, so money, wealth, valuing yourself, self-value, self-esteem, abundance, vitality, healing or health, productivity, producing a result, making things happen. Think that yang type of fiery, masculine type of energy. Creativity is also here. So write down all that you learned from your family about money, any of its correlations, along with any strong memories. And that might take a few minutes, so let's put 3 minutes on the clock here for you. And again, you can always take longer, go back and spend more time here, or pause the recording and listen past those 3 minutes. Okay, everybody, breathing here, let's go for it. Leave no stone unturned. Even when it feels like you're not done writing, or when you are done writing, imagine that you're not, and just keep going for it and keep writing. Go for it. And that's a minute and a half, halfway there. All right, everyone. So that's 3 minutes. It's actually a bit over 3 minutes and 15 seconds. Not that I'm precise. Is that enough time? Would you like more time? That feels like it could be expanded, but you let me know if you're done or if you'd like more time.
It's okay because I went to the essential.
Okay. All right. So know that.
It's nailed to the essential thing.
Okay. Know that if you'd like more time, just press pause on the recording and take all the time that you need here. This might be a 30-minute exercise, so don't limit it to 3 minutes. Okay? Okay, everybody. Give that to a slow, deep breath here. So every single time we think about money, any of its correlations, any of those spin-offs about wealth and valuing yourself, it activates every single thing you've written down on your paper and every single thing that that's connected to. And neuronal pathways connect to a lot of things, consciously, subconsciously. So there's an easy way to access all of that. And it's by noticing how your body feels. So, given everything that you've written down, and I know it's a lot, breathe into your body. And in one word, what do you most notice about how your body feels here? In one word. So whenever I do these sorts of workshops, I always say, and feel free to email that my way. So instead of just skipping past that, I'll ask and I'll intervene on occasion to make this more amenable to a live audience. Is there anything about that you'd like to share in the past few days? You don't have to share, but there's an option. Is there anything that you'd like to share at this point?
About that one word?
Yeah, or any of the exercises that we've done till now.
I have found the exercises very liberating, giving me a lot of freedom because they were kneeling down what was stuck in myself. And then as there was this magical process going on over the days, so uncomfortable that it getting freer and freer and getting rid of very deeply rooted systems. So it was very incredible. And then as magic, you feel good. And that way of behaving is gone.
The power of observation is rich, hey?
Incredible.
Yeah.
Just observing.
Yeah, just observing. Just the most powerful tool we have. That old thing.
As I write, this is why it was so funny in the beginning. It wasn't funny to say like, but I was writing and I was observing myself as I were writing down these things, and they already started, a few things started to melt down. I was like the observer, and I was both observing myself and the observer. It was like two persons, and I was okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Wow.
That was part four. Let's head into, well, they're not really numbered numerically after this, because this next part is for like 3 days, but we can call it part five. So part five, every sort of fifth part is about investing in ourselves. And it's an opportunity to just sit with all that we've uncovered here from a different perspective. So you've uncovered lots of beliefs and feelings. And the internal pressure underneath all of those can sometimes lead to different types of excuse me.
I'm sorry.
1 second.
Yes.
So sorry. Just getting my voice again here. Okay, so underneath all of this, you've led to a variety of different types of behaviors, some of them destructive, not the least of which is often guilt. When we have guilt, it often can require punishments. So now investigate for yourself, how is it that you punish yourself? So feel free to write something down here. So underneath all those beliefs and feelings, if there's any sense of destructive behaviors here, guilt that requires punishments, investigate for yourself. How is it you punish yourself? I'm just getting over a little bit of a cold and I'm out of water. So I'm going to leave you with that for 30 seconds. And I'll be right back with some water. Okay, everyone. So give that a slow deep breath. And let's go into part six, the weight. So So now imagine that you are back in Mindscape, helping that out perhaps even by going inward, closing your eyes. And imagine now if you can see or sense in some way any other deeper, weightier beliefs, feelings, all the correlations that you have around money. Imagine it like a weight. Imagine it like a dumbbell or a kettlebell hanging on you. And then imagine now that your body is covered in dumbbells and weights and kettlebells, barbells. Imagine your body can just feel all of these weights that you placed onto it. I hear time and time again from people that they really want more money. And on a subconscious level, they're saying, I really want more of this weight feeling. I really want more of this feeling like my whole body is a burden. It's covered in the burdens of money. So why on earth would we ever be able to manifest more money if our subconscious says, well, it's connected with all of this weight, all of this burden? Why on earth would you feel like inviting in one more burden when you feel this way already? Imagine that all the different beliefs that you carry about money or any of its correlations have created this block of being a giant weight. Or perhaps you have different imagery for it. That's fine too. But that block is blocking from receiving. Can you see how it's created limitations? Even if you get what it is you want, money, any of its correlations, it'll come in like a burden. It'll be a struggle to manage it. It'll involve hard work to keep it, instead of finding passive ways of receiving it, like a passive income stream. So tune into all of these stories and see where you feel them in your body. Is there a body part that most of the stuff hangs out in? If there is or if there isn't, that's okay too. Pick one area of your body. Just pick one and breathe into it. Breathing is one of the three most powerful tools we have. So consciously breathe here into this part of your body until you feel it relax. A second most powerful tool that we have is that of movement. So now see how this part of your body wants to move. and imagine that it can take over your whole body. It's going to move your body the way it wants to move your body. If this part of your body was in charge of moving your body, how would it do it? So no one's watching. If you're live and you don't want to be, you can even just go on the other side of your computer video screen. If you're listening to the recording, even better. There's no one watching. Go for it. Move your body. Let it do the moving. And literally shake it all up. So up on your feet, go for it, go for gold, no holding back. Now's your time. Give it 60 seconds. Ready and go. Okay, last few seconds. Get it all out. Go for it. And time. Excellent. Really know that there's no time. So feel free to press pause and go for gold even longer. Feel free to do this exercise throughout your whole day. And you can actually have that be true for any of these exercises. Breathe right back into that body. Notice how it feels now. Breathe here. And ask this body of yours, what does it need today? What does it need right now from you to help it meet its needs? Does it need more movement? Does it need more breath? What does this body part need from you today? How can you honor that today? All right. That was like part 6 and 7. We're heading into part 8. Oh, I love them all, but this one's a really fun one. Now we're going to dive into some family stuff again. So tune back into that body of yours. See where you most felt all those stories again. Might not be just that one body part, it might be a different body part, or there might be many lighting up. So breathe into this part of your body, or all of these parts of your body, and feel yourself being fully present here. Now, ask these areas or this area of tension, pressure, congestion, whatever it is you're feeling that gets your attention the most, how far back along the family lines does this all go? Imagine you can transport yourself right to the very roots of all of this. Here's how we're going to do it. Imagine that you can sense all this family inheritance, get it? Money, family inheritance, haha. All of this family inheritance as a money tree. Imagine all of the roots of all of this stuff growing up into a family money tree. Okay, so here's your family tree. Truthfully, I'm not much of a green thumb, but I do know that anytime there's a tree, it needs something like hedge clippers, a chainsaw, a pruner, something to trim. So notice if your tree needs to be trimmed. Shape it. What shape feels best for you? Take another 30 seconds pruning your tree. And notice how your body feels here. Good. When the pruning is done, notice how your body feels here too. And imagine that this tree can grow to whatever size, shape, because of all the care and the attention that you've given it. See whatever size or shape it grows into that's most supportive for you right now. Excellent. Time for part number 9. Time to shake it in a different way. So So we've all heard that phrase, money doesn't grow on trees. Let's go right back to that family money tree that we pruned, that we grew, and really take some time, much like a little kid would lob to get their hands on those awesome trees that make great forts with, climb, play on it, maybe even build a little tree fort like you used to do if you were younger and you did that sort of thing, or maybe you still do that now. So imagine that you can go right onto this family tree and enjoy it. Play with it. Can you feel the leaves and the bark underneath your fingertips? Can you smell the sweet earthiness of the tree? Finding joy here in nature, in all that's natural. Finding joy in your roots of your family money tree. Take all the time you'd like to play here. When you feel complete, climb down your tree. And now, give your tree a shake. Shake it, shake it, shake it until something falls right out of this tree. If what falls out feels right to you, know that you're complete. If what falls out doesn't quite feel right, this is your opportunity to go back, to prune more, to even replant this tree, or any other creative options that feel right for you. So let's go check out what falls out of this tree. So again, you have your opportunity to play with this as much or as little as you like. Feel free to walk yourself through that tree exercise anytime that you like. It's kind of a fun way to explore all of this. And you could, if you're exploring or if it feels like you started to explore all those different correlations all at the same time, you could go back and repeat it for every single aspect. So you could do it for not just a money tree, but a healing tree, a vitality tree, a productivity tree. You can make this tree whatever concept that you like and walk yourself through that exercise. Okay. Part 10. So I mentioned every fifth part was an opportunity to look at this from a slightly different perspective. So sometimes when we bring up the subject of family, often comes up the subject of hoping life would have been different. Would have been somehow other than what it is for you right now. Has hoping ever once really served you in a way that's truly met your needs? Has hoping ever once really served you in a way that your needs got met? It might be a familiar habit pattern, but hasn't served you, hasn't met your needs. If it hasn't, well then, it's been a coping mechanism. And all coping mechanisms are useful to some extent, and then they become destructive. That's the very definition of a coping need. That temporary band-aid that has to be ripped off. And you know it has to be ripped off when it starts to, well, become destructive in some way. So if that's the case for you right now, on a scale of 1 to 10, how would you rate the destructiveness of your hope? On a scale of 1 to 10, how would you rate the destructiveness of your hope? What if, excuse me, what if you didn't need to hope? What if you didn't need to hope? What if you didn't need to hope? How would that feel? And although you likely haven't thought about it this way before, have you ever used hope as a form of self-punishment? So investigate for yourself. How is it you punish yourself via hoping?
The question. Yes. You ask a question, Alison.
Yes.
Have you ever used hope as a form of self-punishment?
Yeah, have you ever punished yourself with, I'll just keep hoping for that thing to happen?
And how could I punish myself? I don't relate to the question, and I'm trying to see if I'm missing something here, if I miss a question.
That's okay. It may not be your experience. But yeah. Often, hoping is used as that coping mechanism. And anything that we use to cope is often a way that, as we mentioned, something that becomes destructive. anything that we use to cope, we can also use to punish ourselves with. Because if we're using it to cope and it's not actually meeting our needs, then isn't that a kind of punishment? So for, and this is a very different way of thinking. This is very breakthrough-esque. Okay? So if we've ever used hope, and you might not have, but if you have, as a form of coping, and it's no longer useful, we know that because it's not meeting our needs. So if we've used hope to try to meet our needs, and it hasn't been meeting our needs, and we keep using it, that's like we keep doing something that's not working. And isn't that a kind of punishment, to keep doing something that's just not working? So how is it you punish yourself via hoping? What is it you hope for that still isn't meeting your needs? So it's for you to explore. This is not a light topic, and likely it's going to take some more time to sit with than just these next 30 seconds. So if any of these exercises that we've done so far have given you pause to want to explore, please take some time in these next couple weeks to do that. Okay. Does that help, Sylvie, to give you more imagery for it? Yes?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, good. You're welcome. Okay. Number 11. Ready for more? Okay, here we go. So whether or not you gleaned a new insight on hoping or any of the exercises of the last few that we've done here, we're going to take a moment to celebrate because you've done a lot of work here. So anytime there's those, like, really think of like the Oscars or the Tonys, or I never actually watched those shows, so I probably shouldn't be referencing them in this way, but think of like all those glamorous type of celebrations that we see on TV. If you were to write yourself, you know, an award-winning acceptance speech, what would it be for? If you were going to write yourself an acceptance speech, what would it be for? Okay, so yes, you guessed it. We're going to take a few minutes to write yourself that acceptance speech. Keep in mind, this is playful and this is celebratory. So even if you're not quite decided yet, that's okay. Take another minute or so to figure that out and then just begin. It's okay if you don't get your whole letter done in the next 3 minutes. I'll put 3 minutes on the clock.
Oh my God, I have no idea.
That's okay. You don't have to have anything. Use the time just to think about what might come for you. If you were going to write yourself an acceptance speech, what would it be for? Take a few minutes to think about that.
And what is an acceptance speech? Is it something where...
Well, you're familiar with like the movies that like the Oscars and the Tonys and all those awards where the actresses and actors get up and they have an acceptance speech thanking people? Yeah, that's an acceptance speech for them for starring in a movie. So if you were to write yourself an acceptance speech, like, yes, thank you, I did a really good job on that, everybody. What would it be for? Okay, 30 seconds, and it's okay if you feel like you're not getting anywhere with this. Know that you can always come back and spend some more time with it later. It's okay if you're already done your acceptance speech. It's okay if you are still trying to figure out what that word even means and how you'd apply it to you, or if you're partway through, wherever you're at. Know that you can come back and revisit this exercise, and it's always useful to come back to, especially those ones that we go, I have no idea what the hell this is. Make note as well that this is sort of one of the few parts that have been more fun and celebratory and playful. Yeah, so which has been easier? Has it been easier to do those parts that have been, let's just get into the muck and the mire and write down all the shit? Or has it been easier to write down all of the greatness about you and all of the wonderfulness that's involved in acceptance of you, whatever that means? I'm smiling a little bit because in Free Fall 2 in particular, we explore accepting your acceptability. Isn't that juicy? Accepting your acceptability. So feel free just to sit with those words, and even if your mind gets confused by them, even better, just sit with those words. Accepting your acceptability. Such juicy words. Okay, we're going to dive into part 12. There's 15 parts in case you're wondering, so we're almost there. Part 12. I'm going to stick to this theme of like Tonys and Oscars and acting and actresses just for a little bit longer here. Do you ever find yourself acting in a way that's just not you? Maybe it's being fake, maybe it's just insecurity. Just maybe it's insecurity. Let's explore your need to perform. Who do you most act for? So, who do you most act for? Do you find yourself acting in a way that's just not you sometimes? If so, who is that for? Is it for you? Is it for family, for friends, for the public at large, like the teller at the grocery store? For your neighbors? Who do you most act for? If you answered everyone, you're probably really right. What does this really get you? What does it really get you? What roles do you play the most? Do you play the I'm happy, everything's fine person? The I'm normal person? Do you play the I'm a good daughter, mother, wife, husband, son card? Good father. Do you play the roles of caretaker, peacemaker, sinner, saint, whore, beggar, master, slave? We could go on for days. What roles do you most play? My go-to resource, and although I can't say her name because I've heard it pronounced differently so many times, is Caroline Miss or Caroline Mace's work on the archetypal energies. Myss is how you spell it. So she's always amazing for the archetypal roles. That's really where all of that work comes from. Okay, part 13. Ready? Who would you be without your performance? How does your body even feel at the suggestion of that? Not performing? How does it feel? Who would you be without your performance? Part 14, one simple question again. In one word, how would it feel to abandon the need to perform? Part 14. In one word, how would it feel to abandon the need to perform? How would it feel to abandon the need to perform? Breathe here. Okay. Part 15. I used a really juicy word in part 14, and that was abandonment. Okay. So we're going to explore this word, abandon. Often the word, I've been abandoned, is what that's related to. So let's explore this association of abandonment and fear is one that in our human experience often runs to the very depth of our core. Because we've judged abandonment as being this terrible thing. And that's like saying you should never exhale. That's like saying you should never go to the bathroom. You should never let anything go. It's just a really powerful word for it. We just don't always associate abandon with exhale. But isn't that what we're doing? We're abandoning all the air molecules. Yeah, it's not personal to the air molecules, but it's their time to go. They gotta go. We just don't always think of it in that way. So without abandonment, you'd never be able to let go, walk away, disperse, or release any attachments that no longer serve you. If we were to look up in a dictionary, the definition of abandon is to leave completely and finally, to forsake, to desert. So now challenge yourself to redefine this relationship to abandonment so that it's not so driven by fear. And we best do that by often embracing our fears. So perhaps this fits for you. If you need to do it a different way, then please do that. But perhaps it's a fear of solitude or solitariness, of being alone. Being alone is often related to the fear of abandonment. And a really easy way to play with that is simply to spend time by yourself, alone. It's interesting. Alone is really meant to be spelled all one. They just forgot an L in there. So it's when we're alone that we have the opportunity to connect to the wholeness of all that we are in the world, in the universe. And by ignoring that, we completely deny ourselves the opportunity to really experience wholeness. There's so many usefulnesses to this exercise. I could wax poetically again for days, but I'm going to take a step back here. So embracing fear of solitude, fear of solitariness, perhaps by taking yourself out for like a coffee, a meal, and watching what other people, you know, or what your perception of other people is, observing you all by yourself. So it might be okay to be alone in a movie theater where no one really notices you. Is it okay to be alone in a busy restaurant all by yourself? So push the limit here. So good. I'm going to talk a little bit more here. So sitting for a meal, and if you want to really push it, do it without your cell phone. Do it without a book or any other distractions. Huh? You could also play with abandonment by inviting abandonment into your Mindscape workshop. If abandonment could come in as a person to have a cup of tea with you, what would it say? If you could take abandonment on an imaginary first date and listen to what it really has to say, what would it say? So stop running from this fear, turn around and just see how much attention it actually is just looking from you to feel nurtured and nourished. All of our fears are nothing more than a cry for attention, for nurturing and nourishment. So play with this as much as you like. When you feel like you've got a healthier stage of relationship to abandonment, use it. Go back to the beginning. Refer to all those things, all those notes that you made about what it is you felt in like day one, two, three, day, pardon me, I'm calling them days, parts one, two, three, etc. And make notes. How can you use this new superpower that you've cultivated of abandonment Is there anything that you need to abandon? Go through those exercises perhaps all over again. Commit. Really go for it. Doing absolutely whatever it takes. No holds bar. Use abandonment now that you're best buddies with it. And explore any other practical action that you need to keep that commitment ongoing to yourself. And as always, you're welcome to share privately in our group, however you like. Yeah. And big thank you for the suggestion to talk about this. So do let me know, as always, what it is you'd like to see. So we have 4 more times to get together. So know that you can make any requests, ask Allison anything. I have some ideas up my sleeve. Don't worry, this isn't solely driven by just requests. However, I love getting to meet people's needs. So wherever you're at, what is it you're chewing on? How can we help you out with that all? Okay. And there was a change. I don't have the schedule in front of me, but I'll write it down on our Facebook page because in 2 weeks' time, we switch the day of the exercise for just that 1 week. So I believe it's on October 30th. Okay. And I believe it's at 6 p.m. my time, Calgary time, on October 30th, which may or may not be that time for you. So you have to look at that for you all. Okay. And actually, that'll be really juicy timing. So I've just finished teaching Free Fall 2, literally like minutes beforehand. So looking forward to that all. Okay, my love. I went a wee bit over time. I apologize for that. I said these calls would be no more than 75 minutes, and we're actually at like 78 minutes. So forgive me. And anything that I can help you out with, any questions or things that you'd like to share before we wrap for the day.
There's just one thing. So part one is the seed. Part two is how you are in depth with 2 questions.
Yep.
3 questions. Part 5, investing in ourselves. Part 4, I missed it.
I called it activation, but I don't think I actually said that out loud. You are right. So that was it was kind of tied in with part 3. Part 3 was heart and soul, and then I just kept talking. Part 4 was every time you think about the money or its spin-offs of wealth and valuing yourself, it activates all those things that you've written down in your paper. Notice how your body feels here. In one word, how does your body feel?
Okay. How your body feels. Okay.
Yeah.
That's part 4. Part 5, investing in ourselves.
Yes.
Part 6 and 7, the weight. Part 8, we had to tune back in our bodies and breathe into that part. Part 9, time to shake it in a different way.
Yeah.
Part 10, hoping life would have been different.
Yep.
It's all about the hope. And part 11, take a moment to celebrate. I'm good now.
You're good? Okay. Excellent.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Okay. All right, everyone. Feel free to tap out your cortices, breathe again, and feel free to really just play with this material. There's so, so much richness here. And know that you've really done the first 3 weeks of my 6-week, 40-day money, wealth, and valuing yourself workshop in about an hour and a half. So that's a lot. And when we do that course workshop online, we spend time to integrate it with a series of body talk sessions throughout. So there is so much richness there to integrate. So really be gentle with yourselves. And I look forward to working with you all. A reminder, if you haven't used 2 of your 4 sessions, to do so or schedule those pretty quickly here, and we'll get you taken care of. Okay. All right, everybody, have yourself a fantastic couple weeks, and we'll chat with you soon. Bye for now.